1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Crews are still combing through the rubble at a Latter-day Saints church in Blank, Michigan, after police say a local man drove his car through the front doors, opened fire, then set the church on fire, killing at least four people. Police Chief William Renier says some died protecting others.
They were shielding the children who were also present within the church, moving them to safety.
Democratic leaders meet with President Trump today to try to avert a government shutdown tomorrow night. Virginia Senator Tim Kaine on CBS's Face the Nation.
The only thing about the president's threat to fire more people is he's already doing it. And instead of threatening, he should just be meeting to negotiate.
The state of Oregon is suing to try to stop the president from sending in the National Guard, Governor Tina Knowles.
Putting our own military on our streets is an abuse of power and a disservice to our communities and our service members.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Shali Pittman, filling in for Melissa Kay. Last month, thousands of gallons of crude oil spilled when a train derailed in Dodge County. It made Civic Media's Parker Olson ask, how often do trains derail in Wisconsin and why?
In 2023, there were 27 reported derailments. The accidents are dangerous and can not only cost a lot of money, but also have the potential to spill hazardous materials. Oftentimes, these derailments happen in or close to populated areas. The National League of Cities says that two-thirds of all rail accidents happen within cities. That's because in and around those urban areas, the track has more curves and turns. That's when there's a higher chance of something going wrong.
When things go bad, they go really bad.
That's Mark Burrows, a retired locomotive engineer and the editor of the Railroad Workers United newsletter. According to him, train derailments have a few primary causes.
Inspection of the rolling stock, inspection of the tracks, the ridiculously long and heavy freight trains, and insufficient training.
Burroughs also says jobs have been cut over the years, making crews smaller, all while trains get longer. Some trains are well over a mile and a half long, posing a challenge for crews that often are just an engineer and a conductor. That's an issue of its own, cuts to crew size and jobs in general. Our research found that there have been 45 derailments in Wisconsin since 2023. The cause of 21 of them is reported to be human factor, but Burroughs warns that the decline in jobs, crew size, and a de-skilling of workers is a reason for many human-caused derailments. Burroughs also claims that track-caused derailments can often be attributed to fewer workers who need to inspect more rail track and having less time to do it than in the past. There have been 15 track-caused derailments in Wisconsin since 2023. For Civic Media News, I'm Parker Olson.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Shali Pittman.
An overtime that ends in a tie. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Dallas, where the Packers and the Cowboys played a full overtime period and Green Bay kicking a field goal to end the game in a 40-40 tie. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on why he's disappointed heading into the bye.
It's disappointing. Just too many critical mistakes that led to that tie. Give Dallas credit. They did a great job offensively, you know, moving the ball down the field. But there's a lot of things that we all have to clean up, starting with myself. I mean, we were trying to be aggressive at the end of the half. That really bit us in the butt.
Baseball, the Brewers with a 4-2 win at home Sunday over the Cincinnati Reds to close out the regular season with 97 wins, a new franchise record.
You know, I'm glad that this team gets to be remembered differently. You know, I'm not into records necessarily, but it's a way for the 2025 to be recognized differently.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
It is going to be another warm one today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We could see a little fog overnight, our low dropping into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, The real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will get a recap of all the weekend news with Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman. And we're going to talk about PFAS in Wisconsin Ducks with David Drake. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wasota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Monday morning, September 29th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wasota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or catching us on YouTube, Facebook, podcast, however you got here. It's nice of you to start your work week right here, where maybe you're a little more tuckered out than others, or maybe not. Maybe you were a little wiser than that. So I got a question for you. Aren't you glad you didn't stay awake for that stinkeroo? Huh, Parker? Parker Olson, producer. Aren't you glad you didn't stay up for that mess? That, boy, do I feel better that I went to bed. Aren't you glad? Parker, wake up. Parker. You stayed up for the game. Stayed up for the overtime.
I stayed up for that freaking game. And what?
A tie
in which Matt LaFleur did all the stupid things he's been doing stupidly for a long, stupid time. And I feel stupid for having stayed up for such a stupidly long amount of time. And Pat, I had slept on a couch on Saturday night, so I wasn't well rested to begin with on Sunday.
This all sounds stupid.
It's very stupid, Pat.
It was a stupid Sunday for Parker and for Packers clock management and all the other things to end up in a 40-40 tie. Now,
yep.
I went to bed after the Packers scored and made it 20-16,
So I woke up and went, oh.
I went up, woke up, and saw 40-40 time, like, oh, man, good call out of you. So I had a full weekend as it was. I was at the Brewer game Saturday night and, you know, some traveling over the weekend, of course, down there to see you guys on Friday. So I was ready Sunday night to go, especially...
Yeah,
I mean, the first half was not, well, it was stupid, too. It was not pretty. I mean, it just wasn't. And so I did not feel like, oh, this game's going to get more exciting and better, and I'm going to want to stay up for that. No, Roger will not answer our question. He says, I'll take the fifth. Yes. It's a good call, Roger. It was, I would love to have come on and said, wow, I'm so sorry I missed it. What a big comeback. Always great to beat Dallas, but. That just wasn't in the cards based on the play that we were seeing. And by the way, not the fault of the offensive line, which I thought was going to be the weak point. I thought the offensive line was going to let Jordan Love get sacked 14 times. It didn't happen. Mm-hmm. The problems were, you know, Jordan Love getting, you know, fumbling when he got sacked. And you know, apparently Matt LaFleur, very bad clock management. Not the offensive line this time.
No, weird decision to try to sneak in an extra possession at the end of the half there.
Yes.
That was odd.
And of course, special teams allowing that extra point, which, I mean, to me, it all comes down to that. I know it's more than that, but in my mind, you know, an extra point should be a gimme. And things aren't a gimme because you don't do anything. Things are a gimme because you know the things to do. You know the people to block. And when you let somebody come in, block the extra point, return it for a touchdown, and that's, you know, that's a swing right there. Instead of you getting an extra point, they get 2 points, and the game ends in a tie.
Yeah.
I'm just going to look at that.
A 3-point swing really does something there. Yeah.
It was not good. And then apparently what I missed it in overtime was that one of the Packers was tackled inbounds on a play that started with 28 seconds left, and they didn't get another snap until 6 seconds were left. I can only imagine the screaming at TVs that were going on at that point. Matt LaFleur said after the game, "I think that goes to the level of detail that we're not where we need to be. The operation was just way too slow. I don't know if our guys didn't know we were in a 2-minute or what." No, I think they do. I think they can read, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then they took a shot. I don't know why they took a shot to the end zone on that. That was even dumber because then the ball hit the ground with 1 second left.
Yeah, they got they caught a break there. Romeo Doubs caught all three of Jordan Love's touchdown passes, finished with 58 yards on 6 catches. So 58 yards on 6 catches, not good, but 3 touchdown passes, real good.
Very good.
So take it. Josh Jacobs rushed for 2 touchdowns, finished with 157 yards. Love threw for 337 yards. He did not look bad, you know, but there was definitely room for improvement.
They put up 40 points, like 37. Yeah, that's a great game.
You can't give up 40 points. You just can't. So we can let this one go because the Packers are now in a bye week, which is interesting because it felt like a bye week before because we had that Thursday night game and then
played so later on. Yeah.
And now we've got an entire bye week. The Packers will next play at home on Sunday, October 12th. That's a 3:25 start. So we can either dwell on this game and the loss to Cleveland for the next 2 weeks, or we can just let it go and cheer for the Brewers. That's my choice.
I'm choosing to wash this one out.
Yeah. Yeah. Just flush it. Let it go. The Brewers won their regular season finale 4-2 over Cincinnati to avoid a sweep. Final record of 97 wins and 65 losses. Best in team history. Best in baseball this year, which I know all of us who are Brewers fans who watch a lot of the games, we still have a tough time wrapping our head around. We were the best team in baseball this year.
It's weird because we're so young.
Not everyday household names, you know, but you had those streaks. I mean, those three big winning streaks that accounted for 33 wins. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Danny Jansen hit a 2-run homer yesterday. Trevor McGill made his first appearance back from an injury. He looked pretty good. And then the Reds hung around in the locker room, and they clinched the final playoff spot after the New York Mets finished a collapse for the ages.
Matched
or exceeded only by the Detroit Tigers' collapse for the ages. But at least Detroit is still in the playoffs, but they're not division champions. They managed to just completely lose an ironclad grasp of the American League East. And instead, they did grab a wild card spot. But the New York Mets, second highest payroll in baseball. And it's going to be another long winter for New York baseball.
And now Pete Alonso says he wants out. He's not going to take his option.
No. So
tough.
Sorry, Mets. Let's see. Oh, some other good news for a former Brewer. At some point, we'll stop being happy for Willy Adames. But Willy Adames hit his 30th home run
for
San Francisco. Hold
up. We're never going to stop being happy for Willy Adames.
Okay, happy for him personally, but I mean, at some point it's going to be, oh, that guy in the San Francisco Giants. But you talk about former Brewers, Willy Adames getting 30 home runs. The Giants haven't had a 30 home run hitter since 2004, so that's cool. And then the other one, Stephen Vogt, former Brewer
Stephen
catcher, now manager of the Cleveland Guardians, who win the American League Central, overcoming the Detroit Tigers. Stephen Vogt, just one of the real good guys out there.
I forgot that he was their manager. That's awesome.
Yes, yeah. Just you know, congratulations to him and to Cleveland and to Tony and all of our favorite Cleveland fans out there, and you know, condolences to all the Houston Astros fans because Houston, you got eliminated in the last weekend of the series.
That's a shame.
And then the Cubs Padres, they have the wild card series, and the Brewers will take on the winner of that series this weekend. I'll give you the whole schedule here, but first I have to say, from being at the game on Saturday, which was a lot of fun. Brewers lost, but again, we weren't holding out high hopes. But I was there for for a couple of weeks now, we've been saying we need to put Jacob Mizorowski in the bullpen. We need him to come out of the bullpen and come out strong out of the bullpen. And we got to see him coming out of the bullpen and it just implode. It was not good.
Ungreat.
It was a 6-run inning when all was said and done. So
yeah.
He's got some time to work on that this week.
He does.
So let me tell you about the Cubs and the Padres, since we're going to play the winner of that series. So they've got a 3-game wild card series at Wrigley Field, and nobody did them any favors on the TV schedules. No primetime games for them. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 2 p.m. So 3-day games at Wrigley Field. So, you know, for Cubs fans, that'll be fun if they can win out of two out of three.
30 years ago, everyone would have said, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It's Wrigley. It's a day game. That's how it works.
Yeah, and that's fine. So whichever team gets 2 out of 3 there will be at American Family Field on Saturday playing the Brewers in the National League Division Series in one of the series. So game one will be this coming Saturday. Game two will be a week from today, next Monday, both of those games in Milwaukee. And then game three will be Wednesday of next week in either Chicago or San Diego. It's a best of 5. So 3 out of 5. So we've got the games coming this Saturday, then next week, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, if necessary. So there's the setup for the Brewers. Let's see. The Badger football team was off. Thank you. We need that.
And somehow Saturday, they still lost by 2 touchdowns.
Saturday, they are in Ann Arbor to take on Michigan. So you'll be able to hear that pregame starting at 9 a.m. Saturday on some stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. And some good news for the Badger women's volleyball team as well. On Friday, they swept Rutgers at home to open the Big Ten season. Then yesterday, they swept Iowa on the road to go to 9-1. The 7th-ranked Badger women volleyball team will host Illinois this Thursday evening at 7 at the Fieldhouse. And there you are, up to date on sports. A whole lot of sports over the weekend. So,
this is true.
And more to follow this week. I mean, with some playoff baseball. We just won't have to think about the Packer game for a while.
Yeah. You know, somebody yelled, a Reds fan yelled at me. Near me. while leaving the Brewer game on Saturday. That you guys are gonna lose in the first round. And I yelled back at him, and we're not in the first round. You are.
That's nice. That's a good comeback out of you. All right. By the way, classy job by the American Family Field folks. Cincinnati, you know, clinched their spot afterwards while they were in the locker room. And then they later came out for a team photo. I don't know if you saw that, but the
I did, yeah,
that American was cool. Family Field, they put up a nice, it's like it was a home game for Cincinnati, a big, you know, playoff Cincinnati Reds banner on the scoreboard for their backdrop, which was nice. We're just so nice here in the Midwest.
Well, yeah, of course.
To do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And it's the Reds. It's not like it's the Cubs. I don't feel bad about the Reds.
Yeah, I don't think we would have done it for them. I mean, all things in moderation, right? So, all right. A reminder to sign up for our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe up in the top banner there. Parker celebrating a big day today. It's National Coffee Day. So you can look for coffee specials at some of your favorite shops. By the way, in case you were wondered about the guy that said he was going to bring down inflation on day one, the average price for a pound of ground roast coffee is now $8.87. That's up 40% from a year ago, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So also in the newsletter today, Buc-ee's is coming to Oak Creek at 73,000 square feet. It will be the largest convenience store in the world. Convenience in quotation marks. 120 gas pumps. That's not a large convenience store. It's a little Walmart. And it's definitely not a quick trip to go visit it. See what I did there? And then, of course, in our newsletters, you can sign up for our Sunday morning newsletter, where my question of the week was, who will cave when it comes to a potential government shutdown this week? Democrats, Republicans, will Trump cave, or will Republicans actually snub Trump and work out a deal that he'll veto, but Republicans join Democrats to override it to end the shutdown? You can get all that and more by signing up for our newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. Bill Berrien has dropped out of the governor's race. We'll talk about how he went about burying his campaign Coming up from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Wrightlum.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Michigan's Supreme Court will hear a challenge against the Line 5 pipeline, the same oil pipeline Canadian oil giant Enbridge is pushing to reroute across northern Wisconsin. Opponents argue the Michigan Public Service Commission broke state laws when it approved the company's plan to drill an oil tunnel under the Straits of Mackinac. A new report from the Alliance for the Great Lakes and Clean Wisconsin shows nitrate pollution is taking a toll in our state. Thousands of families are paying higher costs to access safe drinking water and facing serious health risks because of nitrate pollution from fertilizer and manure. In 2022, farmers likely applied 16 million pounds of excess fertilizer beyond what crops needed. Right now on the Defender podcast, what do data centers mean for our water, land, energy bills, and why is it so hard to find out? An in-depth conversation on the secrets of data centers. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's remind each other life matters. If you're feeling overwhelmed, help is just a call away at 988. It's National Suicide Prevention Month, and you are not alone. This message from the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Tomorrow on the program, our usual Tuesday guests, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom, who has the Below the Beltway newsletter direct from the nation's capital. But never mind tomorrow. I haven't told you what's coming up yet today. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be along in just a bit. She had a busy weekend, and we'll hear about her getting together with some of her old rodent buddies in Gopherland. Selena Heller will be here, and she has a report about public pensions, public employee pensions, and how in Iowa, Republican politicians have been working to undermine that. Is that something we should be watching warily from over here in Wisconsin? We'll talk to author Laura Bird. This week will mark a National Day of Remembrance and Reconciliation for the tragedy that was Native American boarding schools in this state, and there are several books that she recommends to learn more about it. We will have a guest at 7:35 talking about artificial intelligence and AI cybersecurity. Apparently, the amount of phishing emails being generated by AI and being made to look more and more real and fool more and more people is extremely concerning. And so we'll talk about the things that you can look out for. And if you're connected to a business in some way, shape, or form, what that business ought to be doing to try to avoid phishing scams. We'll have Jane Mattenair telling us what's coming up on her program. We will also have in our next hour the Go for the Green and Gold contest keyword of the morning. We'll have a keyword coming up after 7 o'clock. You'll have to text it to us before 8 o'clock, and that'll be the first of seven opportunities to enter the contest where you can get cash and jewelry as daily prizes and the grand prize ticket package to see Green Bay versus Minnesota, a Green Bay home game, a little football to be played in November with some great indoor seats, a wonderful prize package to tell you about. Again, that is right after the 7 o'clock news. All right. Well, on Friday, there were some changes to the 2026 candidate field already, which I know feels weird because it feels like candidates are still getting in, and they are. There are more candidates to come yet in these races, but a couple of candidates have already exited. In the 3rd Congressional District in western Wisconsin and part of central Wisconsin, there have been three Democrats who have been looking to take out Derek Van Orden next year in the general election. But first, you have to get through a primary in August of next year. And those include Becca Cook, who ran against Van Orden last time around. There's Emily Berge, the Eau Claire City Council president. And there's Laura Benjamin, also of Eau Claire and a former Eau Claire City Council member. And Laura Benjamin announced on Friday that she was suspending her campaign. And then the bigger news came out of the race for governor, where Bill Berrien has dropped out of the race. The businessman who appeared to be an unlikely candidate for governor from the beginning became less so each time he tried to answer questions. And then especially when he tried to answer questions about his web browsing history, which, again, in and of itself, it's not a bad thing. It's a different thing when you demonize certain people, and then it turns out that that's a part of your web browsing history. That was Bill Berrien when it came to the transsexual community. So Bill Berrien put out a statement that said, quote, "After hunting down war criminals in Bosnia as a Navy SEAL platoon leader, I had no idea that running for political office could be almost as dangerous." Berrien said he considers himself very intellectually curious, believing it to be a strength to show broad intellectual interest. The media cherry-picked a handful of individuals and articles that came across my social media feed that I then followed without the faintest clue as to an author's lifestyle choices 6 or 7 years ago, and painted a salacious and sensational picture that was clearly targeted to force me out of this governor's race. I respond, "No, sweetie, nobody forced you out. You did that all by yourself. You ran on a platform of targeting people for scorn, and potential government targeting had you won. You referred to transsexual people as engaging in, quote, radical social experimentation. Well, part of the process of learning about new candidates for office is to ask questions and see what kind of a record they've made of themselves. Sometimes it's the words that we say and write. Sometimes it's the actions that we take. Not knowing at the time that we'll be a candidate someday, but the record is there just the same. And in the internet age, that includes the things you choose to follow publicly. So candidates' past interests come up and show what could be construed as hypocrisy, it actually gives you an opportunity. It's a free window to clarify your values." And Bill Berrien could have simply acknowledged curiosity. Bill Berrien could have referenced a desire to learn more about a vulnerable group so that he could potentially be an ally to them as governor. That's not what he did. Instead, he lashed out and he blamed others and gave us this, baloney about cherry picking and the media, and then said running for office is almost as dangerous as being a Navy SEAL platoon leader. I got to say that between his candidacy and what we've seen out of Derek Van Orden, Navy SEALs are going to have a tough time running for office in the future. If this is the caliber of candidates that they get, thank you for your service. You're tough people. You're brave people. But again, that doesn't automatically make you a great candidate or a congressman or a governor. Same goes for Bill Berrien's business experience. It may be very laudable, may be noteworthy, may be successful. That's not enough of a qualification to make you governor, much less the candidate for governor who can win over the most voters. Politics actually is harder than a lot of people want to acknowledge. It takes work, and running for governor without serving at any other office level first is not something that most people would recommend who've been inside there. So, Bill, you are in charge of burying your own campaign. We wish you well in the future. Coming up next, today's history lesson and more TV tunes. Yep, it's another TV tune quiz coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Inspiring and training the next generation of food scientists is happening on the UW River Falls campus. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. Details on how that program is growing coming up next.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504.
Innovation.
How does a soybean become a Dairyland seed difference maker? It starts in the labs of Corteva Agriscience, where Enlist E3 technology is designed to fight the toughest weeds for the greatest yield potential. Then it's hand-selected by Dairyland seed agronomists to be the ideal fit for Midwestern soils and conditions. Finally, it's tested on acres by farmers like you to ensure it's proven to outperform. It's a long road, but the only way to make a difference. Find your soybean difference maker at DairylandSeedSoybeans.com.
Dean Mike Orth at River Falls College of Agriculture, Food and Environmental Sciences is very happy at how their dairy plant is performing. Been running for about a year and a half now, and it just started making ice cream this spring. He says right now they've got about 20 student employees that take the milk through the whole process, but they're looking to grow.
We started in the spring making ice cream. And so and it was new, right? This is a new plant. And the person who oversees the plant is an artisan cheesemaker. But they have been working on the ice cream and they've really got a lot of really good flavors now. They've kind of, you know, as you can imagine, they have to work on their recipes, right, to make the ice cream. But now we have a lot of really good flavors, both vanilla and now chocolate based flavors. So it's really nice. I mean, it's really picking up momentum. You know, we get a lot more people buying ice cream.
Dean Mike Orth at the College of Agriculture, Food and Environmental Sciences at UW River Falls. He said this dairy plant has turned into a talking point for students and attracts other students. He said this fall they added 60 students to the College of Agriculture enrollment, which is about a 15% increase from last year. And some of the judging activities have already started. For World Dairy Expo 2025 on Saturday, they had the Youth Fitting Contest. You can follow us for all the details on what's happening at World Dairy Expo. Just go to MidwestFarmReport.com or follow us on social media. That's a look at food news on a Monday. I'm Pam Yonke.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It is going to be another warm one today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We could see a little fog overnight, our low dropping into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Lucas and director, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. Thank God it's Monday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Well, here we go. Today's history lesson starts out by marking the 81st birthday of TV theme composer Mike Post. He has written themes for the A-Team, as you heard there. He's written TV themes for The White Shadow, NYPD Blue, LA Law, Quantum Leap, The Greatest American Hero, Black Sheep Squadron, Blossom, Hardcastle and McCormick, Hunter, News Radio, Wise Guy, and many more. In fact, let's see if you can name some of Mike Post's better-known themes. That's right. It's time for another edition of TV Tunes Pop Quiz. Here's our contestant. She's a gal from Kakana who traveled to the big city of Minneapolis, dressed up as a rodent for sports events, and now delivers babies and is known internationally for telling right-wing politicians to get the hell out of her exam room. It's Dr. Kristen Lyerly, everybody.
Well, hey, everybody. I thought maybe it was Mr. T's birthday.
No, nothing like that. Mike Post and all of his TV themes. And if Selena jumps in here, we'll let her take part in the little contest as well.
Oh,
and
hey, I'm going to need some help.
You can play along at home by texting us through the Civic Media app or putting something in the Facebook or the YouTube comments.
Please.
For absolutely no prize, because we just made this up and we don't have a budget for this bit. So
please do it. Please.
I've got four more Mike Post TV themes to share. Let's see if you can name them. Contestant Kristen Lyerly, are you ready?
No, I'm not.
You are more than you know. Here is Mike Post tune number one.
Oh, I think that they're doing a dance to this on TikTok right now. It's SVU,
yes.
Right?
Yes, it's Law and Order. SVU is one of them. Yes, we'll accept that. There you go. Here's Mike Post TV theme number two.
Oh, I definitely know that, but I cannot tell you what it is.
If I told you James Garner was the star, would that help at all?
Oh, the Rockford Files.
There you go. Very nice. Look at you. Two for two.
All yay.
Right. Here we go. Here's Mike Post TV theme number three.
These songs are so groovy.
Helicopter. I think big bushy mustache.
Is it Magnum P.I.?
Yes, it is. Hey. There you go. Three for three.
That was definitely one that did not even come through my brain before it came out of my mouth. It came right from the gut.
There you go. It was Tom Selleck. It was a shirtless Tom Selleck that did it. Does it for everybody. I understand.
Hi. Yeah, the mustache.
Here we go. Mike Post TV theme number four. Cop Show, 1980s.
St. Elsewhere?
No, Hill Street Blues. I'm sorry. Oh, you were so close.
Yep.
And this last one, I'm thinking either you're definitely getting this one or not. It's chosen just for you.
Good odds there.
Mike Post TV theme number five.
This is ER, isn't it?
Nope. We're close. Good guess.
Yeah. It's a medical show, though.
Of course it is, yes.
Because of the pinging.
Yes. Huh? With a very young doctor.
Doogie Howser.
There you go. Congratulations. You got four out of five there.
Ish.
With some clues. Yes. Tony
Remember
on YouTube.
Back
like,
in the
Pat
day.
Missed his calling as a TV game show host. No, Pat started as a TV game show host.
Oh, really?
At the college TV station at UW Eau Claire. Yes. I was the host of their Family Feud knockoff, Wing Feud, where wings of roommates from different dorms would compete against each other.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
Oh, if only it were like now, where we, there would actually be some footage and we'd be able to see it.
There is footage.
There is footage.
It's buried somewhere. I'm sure it's not on YouTube and may never leave my basement. We'll see. But that is also how I knew early on in college that Sherry was the right one for me. Because we had a knockoff version of the Newlywed Game called the Roommate Game, where you and your roommate come on and you are asked questions about each other, like the Newlywed Game.
We had one.
Well, Sherry and I, one of the roommate groups didn't show up. And so for comedy relief, they put me and Sherry on. We're not roommates. We're living in two different dorms. We hardly know each other. We just started dating, and yet we won. We got all the questions right about each other.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I know. So yeah, I've got a little game show stuff. How are you, by the way? You had a busy weekend.
Super busy weekend, but so much fun. And to Jim in Brookfield, first of all, I hope you're healing well from your new knee. Second of all, I did, in fact, give Goldie Gopher a high five because as I was going to the tailgate, the game started at 11. I, of course, was getting there at 7 because I'm a Packer fan. I know how to tailgate.
Yeah, you do.
Who comes flying down University Avenue on some sort of a scooter with Goldie's face, but some person who is probably Goldie's special assistant with a big duffel bag slung over his back. So I go chasing after him like a crazy person on my crutches.
Yes.
And he stopped and we chatted for a little while. He took a picture. I gave him a high five. So mission accomplished.
Yes, you did. Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah.
This crazy stalker lady was chasing me.
Oh, yeah. He definitely looked over his shoulder a couple times as he kept going. I'm like, no way. Just seriously. There's it. Please.
Oh, look at that. All right. Another TV theme in today's history lesson. This one not written by Mike Post, but it was a TV show that premiered this day in 1982. Sometimes you want to go where
everybody knows your name. This one's so familiar.
It is hard to Cheers. Premiered this day 43 years ago. How can that be?
Have you been to the Cheers bar?
No, have not. We did on it like a bus tour in Boston. You know, we drove past it, but of course they're like, there's 100 people waiting in line on the sidewalk to get in. Like, no, we'll just keep going. It's okay.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see. Now I've got a movie soundtrack for you here. On this day in 1977, a group named Miko had a number one hit with their version of one of the tunes from the original Star Wars movie. This, of course, was the Cantina Band theme from Star Wars. This day in 1977 was the number one song in the country.
Yeah, huh. It was just the beginning. We had no idea what Star Wars would become.
No idea. It was this cute little movie, you know, in space. We're not going to hear about it after this year. We were wrong. On this day in 1963, the Rolling Stones got their first concert tour as an opening act. That's a pretty cool Rolling Stones opening for Bo Diddley and the Everly Brothers. There's a lineup.
Wow. Although you can kind of see the evolution there with the book. Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That would have been great. Yes. We're going to go way up to 1990 now. The number one song 35 years ago today was by the hair band Nelson. I can't live without your love and affection. I can't face another night on my own. Are you looking at the video clip there? Do you realize they could be any one of these three could be Kristen right now, Kristen Lyerly, or either one of the Nelson brothers, the exact same hair?
They're twins.
Blonde hair.
They're twins. Ricky Nelson's kids.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
Yeah. And their sister Tracy was in Squarepegs. Ask me a question about the Nelson family. I don't know why. Nelson family trivia. Hey.
See, that's the trivia question that Joe I bet it should have been ready for. The Las Vegas Sphere opened on this day in 2023 with a concert by U2. So 2 years ago. Was that. And let's see. I've got a text line coming in for you. Jim from Brookfield says, thank you, Dr. Lyerly, for tracking down Goldie for a high five. One of the Big Ten's better mascots.
Yay. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Let's see. On this day in 1977, Billy Joel released a little album, his fifth studio album, Stranger. It did all right. Songs like title track and She's Always a Woman, Only the Good Die Young, Moving Out, Vienna, seen from an Italian restaurant, sold more than 12 million copies. So I guess it did all right.
You know, there's a great documentary, a rockumentary about Billy Joel. I think it's on Apple.
I can't believe I haven't watched it yet. I have to watch this.
It's so good. I love those rockumentaries that don't like sugarcoat things and they talk about like the grit and the real life stuff. And this one does that. And I loved every minute of it.
I just keep forgetting to sit down and watch that thing. So I can do that. I was thinking of maybe watching last night's Packer game, the parts that I missed because I recorded the game when I went to bed, but I clearly won't need to do that, so that's just fine. Man. And finally, on this day, 41 years ago, the number one song was by Prince. All right, on the national day calendar, we've noted that it is National Coffee Day, which is a day of mourning for Parker because he does not take part, but a day of nothingness for you. No coffee there.
This is a
regular
day. Every
day is a morning day for Parker.
That's true.
Right. Morning.
Yes. Yeah. Morning. Kristen's got her favorite coffee. We did it. I know we asked you before if you have a favorite coffee spot in your neck of the woods that you like to plug.
Mm-hmm. Kavarna Coffee on the west side of Green Bay. Love that place.
Yep. And I don't know what they have, but a whole lot of other coffee shops have specials going on today. So if you've got a favorite coffee shop, if you don't stop there every day, maybe today is the day to do that and find yourself a deal. I got a deal on a coffee or on a mug. I got that Quick Trip mug. Did you get a Quick Trip mug at the Brewer game Saturday, Parker?
I did. I was very happy about it. Did you?
Yep. Yes, I did too. Yeah. Very nice. And I was going to show up at like every Quick Trip on the way home yesterday from Madison and stop and just impress people like, ooh, you got the new Brewer's mug.
Now, see, yes, I do. I read it wrong and I thought that we could use that in the stadium. So I like brought it with, I realized it before we got somewhere, but yeah, I was a little disappointed with that.
No, you get to use it every day after this though. Let's see. Today is International Awareness of Food Loss and Waste.
Oh, that is interesting.
That is a good one, especially
because we waste like half of the food that we buy.
Yes. So, you know, if you can do, composting or just be more aware of the food you're throwing away, that's a good thing.
Oh, wait. Shout out to Rooted in Green Bay that takes that food that otherwise would go in the garbage or in the compost and repurposes it and makes sure that people get to eat it. How about that?
There you go. That is good. Yes.
Twofer.
Let's see. It's World Heart Day. So take good care of your heart.
Good day to make your preventive care appointment.
Oh, very good. Go. See? Yeah, I knew there'd be an angle from you. Mm-hmm. And this is also Silent Movie Day. The jazz singer from, what was it, 1927 premiered this week. What was the movie that won like all these Academy Awards and things? It was a silent movie like about 5 years ago.
Oh yeah, I didn't watch it.
The artist, right? I think that's what it was.
Something like that. It was black and white too, wasn't it?
Yeah. And everybody thought, oh, this is so revolutionary. But is it going to bring back silent movies? No. It did not. Yeah. It turns out we actually like having sound on our movies. Kind of like on the radio. We can't do silent radio. It doesn't work well that way.
It's pretty hard to do that well.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Some people would say it's better, though, depending on the show.
Depends on the program. Yeah, debatable. Absolutely.
There are mornings.
Yes. Still coming up, we'll be visited by Selena Heller from Up North News, who is going to tell us about a story that she's working on for our sister outlet in Iowa about Republican attacks on the public employee retirement system and whether we could see something like that here in Wisconsin someday. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let's go. You still got it, but your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, we offer auto, home, and commercial auto insurance, plus a variety of business insurance options to cover your small business needs and more. Visit progressive.com today.
The cost of mesothelioma treatments can exceed $400,000, and families often face losing their homes and life savings just to pay the bill. The Rights and Claims Department of Flint Cooper has helped victims secure financial support they need to pay for their care and ensure their family's future. If you've been diagnosed with mesothelioma and don't have legal representation, call Flint Cooper now at 800-606-8169. Time is running out for you to file a claim, so don't wait. Call 800-606-8169 for a free consultation.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I pushed through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this Friday, September 26, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our great friends from the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. We have Bettina Peters with us. How you doing, Bettina?
I'm good. How are you?
Always good to have you here and always good to be able to say your name. I love saying your name. It's a great one. Such a fun name to say. Appreciate you being here and certainly appreciate the work that our ADRC does in our community, in our area. It's vital, important work, and when you guys hang out with us, we get a real chance to put a kind of a spotlight on some of the things that you offer, programs and different events that are going on over there. And today, you got a really good one for us to get into, and that is you and kind of the work that you do and everything, because I feel like you like a lot of us and certainly a lot of people at the EDRC, your job has the tree of your job has a lot of branches that go off of it.
It does, yes.
So let's start out right out the gate who you are and let the audience know, especially anybody that hasn't heard from you before and everything, Bettina.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Bettina Peters. I'm an elder benefit specialist at the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin, and I am based out of the Marshfield office serving Wood County.
Appreciate that work and appreciate that breakdown for you. So when it comes to who the ADRC is, for those that don't know, and especially getting to dive into this one, how would you describe what you guys do over there?
Yeah, so the ADRC works to provide peace of mind, quality of life to individuals and families through information and access to resources. So we offer services to seniors and adults with disabilities in Lincoln, Langlade, Marathon, and Wood counties. So we're a 4-county agency. And our services include things like navigating community resources, exploring available benefits, offering support for caregivers, providing meals for seniors. We hold healthy living classes. We have dementia care specialists, and we also have volunteer opportunities.
And there's each one of those great counties that you guys are representing in and everything also have certain, you know, things that are key to their area or, you know, align well with that. And it's something to keep in mind wherever you're listening to us, especially in one of those areas, to, you know, they are there. They are a great resource to reach out to for those things. And I would recommend, too, that if you're not sure if this is something that's, quote unquote, covered by the EDRC, reach out and find out. You know, if you're not, you guys will do your best to maybe point them in the right direction or at the very least be able to answer. And you can check that box off. So, OK, they can't help me. I can move on.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're a great resource for people just to even just get connected to those other agencies as well.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to the mission of our ADRC, how would you put that in the word?
So the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin provides choice and independence through personalized education, advocacy, and access to services that prevent, delay, and lessen the impacts of aging and disabilities in the lives of adults.
It's a great mission, and it's something that we all get behind and we all appreciate, not only because of, especially in areas like ours here in Wood County, where we have a very healthy senior population, but we're all getting older.
We are.
I thought, I'm an actor. I'm supposed to be young forever, right? No, turns out, no, it doesn't work out that way. I can lie about my age, but my body knows better. When it comes, in all seriousness, when it comes to it, I think that it's one of those things that hopefully people that can take a step back and see the big picture, everything works out. You're going to be needing these services of the EDRC. So even if you don't, supporting the work that you guys do and being a part of things, spreading the word about Meals on Wheels and some of the other different activities that go on over there, whether it is volunteering or at least spreading the word about it, you're going to be needing these services too one day. And I think it's important to keep that in mind when we're talking not only to you guys, but just in general amongst ourselves. And we're talking about our EDRC and some of the work that goes on over there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, either for ourselves, for neighbors, family, friends, loved ones. We all have conversations, right? And we hear about people's need. And then it's nice to have that in the back of our head, like, oh, I know a place that can help you.
You know, Bettina, as it turns out, I am only getting older. And as I get, I get a good 20 some years or whatever before I'm hitting that retirement age and everything. But I'm starting now to try to understand Medicare because I feel like I'm going to need a good 20 years to be able to understand Medicare.
Yeah.
But I am somebody who's walking into that and not knowing anything really about it. But in all seriousness, again, one of those things that it's understandable that people that even might have been retired for a couple of years or been using Medicaid for a couple of years, this changes from time to time. You guys are a great resource for this. What can you tell us is a Medicare open enrollment period, what that is specifically?
Yeah, so that specifically is the period for Part C or Advantage plan and Part D. So those are the Medicare drug plans. Really review an enrollment into plans. It runs from October 15th to December 7th each year. And during that time, you're really reviewing your plan. You can join, you can switch, you can drop a plan, and then your coverage goes into effect on January 1st, as long as you have enrolled in something by December 7th.
And while it may seem, you know, basic to some, I just, why is it so important to know those dates, Bettina?
So that window is really open for people to get into those plans. So it's, if you're already in Medicare, right, it's a maintenance period is what it is. And a lot of it is you can absolutely let your plan coast, but by reviewing your plan annually, you can actually save yourself some money, which is important in this day and age. Right?
Yeah, agreed. Yes. Yeah. Well said. So what can I do? What can people do when it comes to this open enrollment period?
So we recommend that you review your current coverage and any plan changes that are taking place in the following year. So those changes should be listed on what's called an annual notice of change. That is a document that the insurance company that you currently have has to send you by September 30th. After you review those potential changes, you can compare your current plan to other plans. And then you can choose if you want to keep your current plan or if you want to change your plan for 2026. So there's a few different things you can do, and this is going to sound really complicated, but this is why we're here, okay?
Right, exactly.
So you can change from what's called Original Medicare, which is AB, and then you have a Part D insurance. That's the one we would be looking at, to a Medicare Advantage plan or Part C. You can change from your Advantage plan back to Original Medicare. You can switch from one Medicare Advantage plan to another Medicare Advantage plan. You can switch to from a Medicare Advantage plan that doesn't necessarily offer drug coverage into one that does. You can switch your Advantage plan the other way, if that works better, from one that has drug coverage to one that doesn't, and then join something like Senior Care, which we can talk about in that context too. And then you can join a Medicare drug plan if you hadn't, and then switch from one drug plan to a different one, or you could technically drop your drug plan completely, which I would not recommend.
Certainly, while insurance companies change their policies or different things go, Medicare, you have to adjust to that, and this kind of affects
you
that.
Were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. An investigation underway after officials say a local man drove his car through the front doors of a Latter-day Saints church near Flint, Michigan, opened fire, then set the place on fire, killing four people before he was killed by police. FBI Special Agent in Charge Reuben Coleman.
The FBI is now leading the investigation and is investigating this as an act of targeted violence.
Congressional leaders meet with President Trump today on avoiding a government shutdown. Republican Rand Paul tells Face the Nation he can't go along with either party.
I oppose the Republican plan because it adds debt. The Democrat plan would add $3 trillion in debt. So really, both plans are laden with deficit spending.
Oregon's filed suit against the Trump administration after the president ordered 200 National Guard troops into Portland. Mayor Keith Wilson.
President Trump has directed all necessary troops to Portland, Oregon. The number of necessary troops is zero in Portland and any other American city.
CBS News.